Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, greetings on this last day of May, and on the threshold of moving into a new month. The year 2004 is moving along very, very rapidly. It's a wonderful time to be a Christian, a wonderful time to be living upon the earth and to represent the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is a time when biblical truth is under assault like I have never seen it in my lifetime. And yet, on the other hand, I see evidence that the Word of God is going forth in power in some places, maybe in a sense in all places, though if you are viewing the overall result, it seems like we are moving backwards rather than forwards. And I guess that's one of the assessments that only God can make. Very difficult for us to be able to evaluate those things. But even though I see great dark clouds on the horizon, I also see great cause for encouragement. So I guess we'll just have to be faithful to the Lord and wait and see what the Lord will be pleased to do. Now, before we get into our study for today, I want to offer Sermon of the Month number 6. Even though it's the last day of May, we're going to be moving very quickly into the 6th month of the year on the morrow. And so we'll go ahead and make our normal monthly Sermon of the Month offer, a Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled, Every Believer, a Gifted Believer. Every Believer, a Gifted Believer. The text is Romans 12, 6 through 8, and it's yours for the asking if you'll write and give us your return address and the call letters of this station and mention Sermon of the Month number 6. We'll send it to you in cassette form unless you request CD form. And the address is Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or you may email us at beacon@netpath.net. Now, returning to John chapter 20, the chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, I'd like to concentrate on verses 19 and 20 today. We read, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the disciples were shut, or rather when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That would be a wonderful preaching text right there. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. But what we're going to concentrate on is this significance of the first day of the week and some implications for the day of Christian worship. Lessons in Christian worship from Christ's first post-resurrection encounter with his assembled disciples. Now, let's set the background. It is the day of resurrection, the day of Christ's resurrection from the dead. It is a day of great transformation. Many hearts will be changed from the deepest despair to the greatest and most exalted joy. A little band of Christ's disciples will be turned from a dispirited group of broken men and women into a courageous army of indefatigable conquerors. And the day of worship will be changed from the seventh to the first day of the week. And what is the reason for these and other climactic changes? And the answer is, it is the resurrection of Christ. When Christ arose from the dead, everything changed. And when Christ arose from the dead, he revealed himself first to Mary Magdalene We find that in John 20, verse 16. Then to other women, Matthew 28, verse 9. And to Peter, Luke 24, 34. To two disciples, unnamed, on the road to Emmaus. And you'll find that in Luke chapter 24. To an individual here, to a group of two or three there. But now, and the text we just read in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, now he appears to the entire band of disciples all at once. All who were present at the assembly of the saints were blessed with a visit from the Lord himself. Because we must understand that true Christianity, biblical Christianity, is both an individual as well as a corporate matter. And it is a mistake to act as if it is all one or the other. Some Christians act as if their Christianity, their relationship with the Lord, is entirely an individual matter. That tends to be the off balance that we have in our day in America. Americans tend to be highly individualistic. We tend to be highly independent. There has been great emphasis upon the individual from the very beginning of our country, and that certainly was a needed emphasis to redress grievous situations in the other viewpoint that had been prevalent in Europe, namely to view citizens as primarily wheels in a cog and members of a whole, and everybody in a certain territory belongs to a certain political group, and everybody in a certain territory belongs to a certain church, and the church and the state are all wedded together, and so forth and so on. And in that, the individual gets lost. Individual liberties are lost. Individual responses to conscience and individual's responsibility to obey and worship God according to his own understanding of truth all gets swallowed up in that process. And so our forefathers, for the most part, came to these shores for the very purpose of being able to shake themselves free from this unbalanced corporate emphasis and return the emphasis to the individual's responsibility before God. But, you see, that emphasis is not without its problems as well. And if the pendulum swings too far the other way, and all of the emphasis is placed upon the individual, and the idea of our corporate relationship with God is neglected or underemphasized, it is emphasized less than what the Bible would have us emphasize it, then we still don't have truth exactly right. You see, truth out of balance actually becomes an error. Now, the magnitude of the error will vary with how far out of balance we are. A little bit out of balance, the error may not seem very significant. But if that balance continues to move in an imbalanced direction, then pretty soon the error becomes more and more apparent. And so I say it again, that true biblical Christianity is both an individual as well as a corporate matter. On the individual side, no one else can believe for you. No one else can make you a Christian. No family, no church, no ritual, no religious institution can get you into heaven. You individually and alone must come to terms with your Creator, with your sin against your Creator, and through the redemption purchased by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, you must personally and individually believe on Jesus Christ for the cleansing of your sins and for the salvation of your soul. That is very much an individual matter, and nobody and nothing can do that for you. Nobody or nothing can replace the personal faith that you must have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But having said that emphatically, without apology, but never forget that true Christianity is a corporate matter as well. There are some things, for example, that God will not impart to Christians apart from the assembly of the saints. Did you know that? There are some truths that you will never get if you abandon the assembly of the saints. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that by many years of observation. I'm convinced of that, first of all, by the indications of Scripture. God meets with the assembly of the saints in a special way. On the one hand, it is true that God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, indwells every individual believer. Every one of us individually have God within us, have the Holy Spirit within us to guide us and to teach us. And yet, the Bible tells us that Christ gave to His church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if all we needed was the indwelling Holy Spirit to teach us, then why did Christ give to His church teachers? Why does He call preachers? Why does He gift preachers with the gift of teaching? Why does He set up churches to have pastors whose primary responsibility is to feed the flock, to teach the Word of God? If we could get all of this on our own simply by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then why did Christ set up the church with teachers at all? And why did Jesus say, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst"? Now, if every individual believer already has Christ in his heart, in the person of the Holy Spirit, then how can you have any more of Christ? But Christ said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst." In other words, there is a special and additional presence of Christ in the assembly of the saints that will never be found in individual worship, individual prayer, individual Bible reading, individual study, as important as all of these things are, and we must not neglect any of them. We ought to have private worship. We ought to have family worship. We ought to have corporate worship. Corporate worship can never replace private worship, nor can private worship and corporate worship replace the need for family worship. Nor can private worship and family worship replace the need for corporate worship. You can't take one and say, "I'll do it this way, this will suffice," and think that you can have everything that God wants for you, to think that you will be a mature, complete, God-pleasing Christian. You will never be complete if you do not involve yourself obediently in the assembly of the saints. You will never be complete in your Christian walk until you learn to worship the Lord corporately as well as individually. And the importance of corporate worship is emphasized in John's account of Christ's first resurrection appearance to His assembled disciples. He met with them in the assembly of the saints. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. We'll take it up, Lord willing, again tomorrow. I trust you'll join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, P.O. Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.